All right.
Are we started?
Right, John, to start the podcast.
This is the start of the podcast. Right, before we go any further, right, quick fire memory man.
Here we go.
The memory man is back. You haven't done it for ages. So, right, Bob, do you remember how many appearances...
Hey, calm down.
Do you remember how many appearances Ralph Coates made for Orient in 1979-1980? Quickly, do you remember?
79-80, Ralph Coates, come over. Yes, I do.
Get in there. Nice one.
Take that.
I thought I'd catch you out with that quick
fire. No.
Bam, 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 bam.
It's all there and very easily accessed.
Superb.
Whistles, Andy.
What about them?
Right. Well, this is the what Wiki would say. An ancient tool or instrument originally made from carved wood or bone.
Jesus Christ.
Used by the ancient Greeks to keep stroke of the galley slaves when they were rowing. So that's like a nice bit of, like, makes you
admin.
Feel historical, doesn't it?
Historical admin.
Used in the Crusades.
Yeah.
Specifically to give signals to the archers. That's the bow and arrow.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the Radio 4
soap opera. Have you bought your kid, ever bought your son a weapon, like a gun or a bow and arrow? Or...
Well, a toy one, yeah. Not a legitimate, you know, a lethal one, yeah.
Well, don't you think that's like a gateway to...
Yeah.
All right, you want him to be a shooter, do you?
I want him to keep his options open.
Well, yeah, I suppose weapons are about extending your options at the
end
of the
day. We don't know where we're going to be 5 years down the line. It could be, you know, death or glory for
all of us. And your son will say, well, I don't know if this helps, but why, Dad bought us a bow and arrow when I was a nipper, so I've got some basic skills.
Yeah, I've got this pea shooter in me sock.
And he'll become like a leader of the resistance.
He will be, yeah.
So anyway, that's whistles. Now, bringing it over to football, Andrew, yeah? Prior to 1880, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And the invention of the pea whistle,
yeah.
Right? That was introduced at a match between Notts Forest Sheffield United, 1880.
Right.
Do you know what the referee used to do before then, Andy?
Did he whistle with his fingers in his mouth?
No.
Did he have a conch?
No. He used...
Can I keep guessing?
He used a hanky. He waved a hanky.
Did he?
So in those matches prior
Cheeky
to,
monkey.
Yeah, to 1880, he'd have been waving a hanky about.
Right.
It's all a bit Larry Grayson, isn't it, out on the pitch?
Yeah, sort of.
Around
this... I watched a documentary about Larry Grayson the other week.
Do you like to watch it? Did you enjoy watching it?
It was all right. I like watching stuff like that about the past.
You do live in the past, though,
I do,
don't
yeah.
You? So I mean, it worries me because I'm an old fucker,
yeah,
Andrew. And I do try not to dwell on the past. I try to have a more futuristic look.
Do you consider yourself to be a mod?
No, but, you know, when I go to the Middlesbrough matches, I'm always gobsmacked that around me in the South Stand, there's quite a high percentage, I'd say like 1 in 30 of the young'uns between about 18 and 30 have got mod haircuts.
Have they? That might be a Middlesbrough thing then.
Well, I think it's sort of, you always think of it as a Manchester
thing.
Well,
it's odd because the mods stands for modernists, doesn't it?
Does it?
Originally it did.
I thought it was Ministry of Defence, Andrew. There you go.
I'm just going to leave that then. I haven't got
anything. Oh, anyway, so, that. Right.
Carry on with your whistle lecture.
Did you know that the pea whistle also revolutionised the police force? Don't fucking laugh at me, Andy. I'm trying to, like... I thought you liked the past.
Well, I do, but...
Yeah, so, but you probably knew this, but I didn't. Before they got the pea whistle in 1880, invented in Brum, right, they used to use a rattle.
Coppers?
Yeah.
Did they?
To alert criminality or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, like, I don't know. Stan, domestic, Denmark Street.
Right.
You know... Okay. I'm just saying, and I thought it was interesting.
What happened when the coppers started using whistles? What is the correlation between the time when coppers started using whistles and referees started using them? Because I wasn't really paying attention to the
dates. Yeah, and if you had, you see, it would have been so much more... There's a whole that it says Alan Brazil's been in this seat. At the moment on TalkSport...
It's completely given it.
I don't know if you've noticed... During Alan Brazil's show, of course, I can't know whether it's his seat or the co-presenter's seat.
Right.
But they've got a squeaky seat. Is yours squeaky?
No. Well, it's not, but then at the same time, this isn't the studio that they do the Alan Brazil show.
All right.
Can I just say...
So the correlation is identical. 1880, referees were given whistles.
Yeah.
1880, only in London in the first instance,
right.
The police were given whistles. Did you use a rattle when you were a kid at football matches? Are you a bit too young?
No, I did have one. I don't know, I can't remember if it was made for me or if it was handed down from a family member. I did have one briefly. It's very heavy, though.
Quite very heavy. But you could paint the little flappy sticks. Red, yeah. We'd both do red and white, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Did you have one?
Yeah. Used to enjoy it. And, you know, like, in the end, they'd almost stop working because there are a number of times you painted different stuff on, you know, Burra,
yeah,
John Icton, or what, you know what I mean?
They wouldn't let you in with one now, would they?
Anyways,
it would be considered a weapon.
It would be. I mean, it would be a vicious weapon, especially if it was made from an oak.
I might get one for my kid.
Flash Lad's got an oak rattle.
For the reckoning.
My favourite whistles, Andrew, are the steam whistle that you might hear on trains. Would you agree that that's a pleasant whistle?
It's a nice whistle, yeah.
An everyday example of the steam whistle, of course, is the one on your kettle.
Yep.
Why are you not? I can't believe you've been. Is of no interest to you whatsoever.
I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say in response to this whistle lecture.
Now, Andrew, unintended whistles can occur when you get wind blowing off telephone lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've ever heard that one?
Yep.
You can also get a very interesting whistle with an idling circular saw.
Can you?
As it, you know, like...
As it comes to rest.
Yeah.
I didn't and know that.
My favourite unintended whistle is when a catheter is removed from the male Johnson. And what a surprise that is. So I was really ill. Did you probably, I don't know that you've ever noticed that.
I think I vaguely remember you saying something about
so
it
I was
a
on
while
a
ago, yeah.
Catheter for 2 weeks or whatever.
All right.
And then... The catheter's removed, and then a certain amount of time later, you fancy your first wee, but yeah. There's a whole load of air in your pipes.
Right.
Right? So you take out your Johnson,
yeah.
Do that muscle squeezy thing,
yeah.
And out of the end of your Terence...
A little whistle. A little whistle.
An unintended whistle. So I'd like people, maybe to, as they're going about their everyday life this week, listen out for unintended whistles.
Right. Oh, and they're going to report back with their findings.
Yeah, if you want to.
If they want to. You really don't have to. All right.
Andrew, do you want me to go straight into... Do you know this... I can't do with the podcast next week, man.
I don't care.
Kidder. Son.
Right.
Jaw.
What are you doing next week, like?
I'm filming.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm filming. Would I die for you? Would I lie, would I lie to
you? You're on that again.
I'm on that again. I'm filming Big Night Out.
Blimey.
All sorts of stuff. I'm such...
What's it like to be famous? What does
I
it feel
know.
Like? You are.
I'm not... I've seen fame at close quarters and I know what it means. It means you can't go to KFC, queue up. You can't go about your business.
Can you do those things?
I do everything that any old Borough Doyle does.
Do you?
And I don't get bothered. But then I've been in the company of people where nah, their life's, well, blighted. I don't know.
Shaka Khan.
No, she seemed to be all right. She was quite anonymous.
Robert Peston.
Peston's probably like me. People probably glance and say, think to themselves, I think I know that fella, but oh, maybe
Peston,
I don't.
I saw Peston getting off a train once at King's Cross. And yeah. I just thought, fucking hell, Jesus, because he was all limbs and sort of...
Is he tall?
He's fairly tall, yeah.
A lot of those newsreader types are really tall, you know, like Jon Snow and people like that.
Yeah.
Fucking massive.
I think that's what makes them become newsreaders. They feel as though they've got a story to tell. They feel as though they need to impart news to the rest of us.
Yeah, maybe they think that. Yeah, they're brought up to think they're important.
A town crier's tall.
No, they seem to be more cuddly
they're
and
quite
rotund,
squat, aren't they?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because they're you see they don't
hat.
Well, they're not giving original information out, are they? They're just like.
Well, then
a
is Robert Peston
giving
original information?
He would say he is. I reckon
through a filter.
He would say a mental filter. Yeah. I don't understand any of this, Andrew. What do you fancy about? Would you like? I want this week. I can't do one next week.
Oh,
right?
You were saying yeah.
So when we get to about 30 minutes today,
yeah.
Shall we like just stop and we can do a part two and
stick
then
stick it out next week.
Podcast next
okay.
week.
Okay, I'm all right with that. Seems me coming down again. Christ.
Eh?
Nothing.
Eh?
I've got a couple of things talking about imparting information. Can I just quickly mention a couple of things?
Yeah.
This is a section I want to call a couple of things that people might not know that I feel they should know.
Oh.
First one, right? Did you know the Hamburg manager is called Christian Titz?
True.
True. Absolutely 100% true.
So you're kind of like a little bit of a rude Chris Evans at the moment, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? He's occasionally saucy. You're just being rude.
I think if we were to count up the number of times each of us has tried to get some kind of comedic currency out of using the word tits on this podcast, it wouldn't be me walking off with the gold medal, Bob.
Okay.
So anyway, Hamburg manager's called Christian Tits. He's doing well, so I really want to see an English club take a chance on him, because it would just be fucking chaos.
It would be nice, that, wouldn't it?
Christian Tits managing him.
Christian Tits, Red and White Army.
He should manage at Sunderland, shouldn't he? He should be the next.
Who do you want at Sunderland?
Christian Tits.
Who do you want at Sunderland that hasn't got a rude name?
Do you know what? I'd love to see Kevin Phillips have a go. If we're going to talk about football properly now,
it might be nice to get that out of the Sunderland fans' system.
Yeah,
for better or for worse,
it might work. It might not, but you know, it would be a magic carpet ride, wouldn't it?
Have you ever seen Ryan Giggs's team talk that's on YouTube?
No,
which is used as the explanation as to why he never gets any jobs.
No, who filmed that then?
It's absolutely rotten. It's just dead. It's like the team talk was being given by, I don't know, like the Pillsbury doorman, but not physically. It's just, anyway, I've got a funny feeling Steven Gerrard might not be a superb motivator.
No.
I do worry.
It's that thing of great players not managing.
I wonder.
Well, isn't it? Brian Robson was another one, wasn't it?
Well, he took us up to the Premiership in his first season. So think about that, lad.
The second thing that I've got that people might not know that I feel they should know, it's a bit more widely known, this one. Steve Wright, the Radio 2 DJ.
Yeah.
There was a time a few years ago when Steve Wright's car was pretty much the exact width of his garage, and the only way he could get in and out of the car was through the boot.
And that's true, is it?
That's absolutely true. You can look it up on the Google. There's pictures of him clambering out of his boot. It was when he was particularly hefty as well.
Yeah.
Which isn't funny.
Yeah,
because I'm not.
Why did you say it then?
Because it's the fact that his car just fit.
Yeah, because
in
you thought that would be a more comical image if we conjured up a fat bloke.
Yeah, of course it is.
Honestly, the
have that's you the end of the things.
Have you ever lived in your car?
No, not yet.
Have you ever slept in your car overnight because the wife threw you out?
No, I slept in my car on New Year's Eve once because there was nowhere else to sleep.
Well, what was wrong with your home?
I wasn't at my home. It was parked outside my mate's house.
So, Andy, there's always somewhere else to sleep.
Not as comfortable as the car.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're saying your car's more comfortable than, say, EJ, a Premier Inn? Or...
Well, how are you going to get a Premier Inn at, like, 2 a.m. on New Year's Day?
Well, I suppose you could go into reception and ask if they've got a room.
The two options. I was pissed I wasn't going to get there. The two options was a floor or my car. If you had to choose between sleeping on a floor or in your car.
And where did you sleep? Did you put the front seat back or did you lie across the back seat?
Yep.
Which one?
The first one.
You put your front seat back?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm quite
in the passenger seat, so I didn't get tangled up in the steering wheel.
Nice.
You can't get arrested if you're not sitting in the driver's seat.
Well, that's it. Even if you're smoking crack cocaine.
If you're drunk.
You're smoking crack cocaine and you're counting gold bullion.
Yeah.
They can't question you if you're in the passenger seat.
No.
I did not know that, Andrew.
Bulletproof.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, Bob. Just got an update, you know, what's been going on, right, you know. I'm still at home waiting to find out what's happening with my job, like, you know, after the trouble with the phone, I'd say. So... this morning, you know, I went outside and I stood on my front lawn to have a good old long stare at my house, you know. I was particularly drawn to a wire that was sticking out on my front wall about 10 foot up, you know. Only a couple of inches long, the wire, but
I reckon it was probably some like a security light, or maybe a burglar alarm, or slightly more outlandish explanation might be a neon sign. But the house has never been used for commercial purposes, so I doubt it. Dog dead. Talking of commercial purposes, you know, that made me think if I was going to open a shop, it would be a chicken wrap shop. I love chicken wraps, mate. I would be willing to sell other fillings, maybe tuna, maybe bacon, pork, maybe even a veggie version, you know, with hummus. But mainly chicken, only lovely, lumpy, lumpy chicken, not that fucking sliced nonsense. I would probably, you know, have all the extras displayed in them tin trays, like in Subway, you know, so people could, like, build their own wrap. I would get up nice and early whilst wife was asleep, you know, and then go to the shop and start preparing the ingredients in my own little kitchen. My own little kitchen. No one to tell me where to put stuff or which cupboards I can use, you know. Then I would nip back home and make the wife her eggs, like, you know, tidy up, move around, then back to the shop where I reckon there would be a great big long queue for Peter's chicken wraps. I would call it That's a Wrap, which is a play on words borrowed from the movie industry. Ronnie O'Sullivan is my favourite actor. No, hold on, he's a snooker player, isn't he? Well, just as I was thinking about That's a Wrap, you know, the front door open and it's the wife saying, "Hello, love."
"Don't fucking hello me, you fucking dial. What, you stood in the middle of the lawn like a fucking gnome for, you little creep?"
"I'm sorry I'm stood on the grass, love. And I'm particularly sorry that I stood centrally on the lawn. I was just having a nice stare, you know, at the front of the house."
"Get inside, you useless bastard, and knock me up a nice spud omelette and a very fucking dark cup of tea."
So I do the wife her omelette, like, and I take it up to her bedroom and she tucks in.
"What's the main fucking criteria for a perfect omelette, Peter?"
"Well, it should have a nice crispy edges and the middle should be fluffy."
"The middle should be fluffy? Is your mind fucking bent? It should be very fucking fluffy."
"Sorry, love. Is that one okay?"
"Yeah, it's just about fluffy enough. So what were you staring at when I caught you, like?"
I'm looking at this little wire sticking out the wall, you know. I wondered if it had previously been attached to a burglar alarm or maybe a security light. You know, it was very interesting thinking about it."
"Well, that's not a fucking mystery. You should have asked me, you fucking Doyle. It was from a CCTV camera."
"Should we get the VCTV camera, love?"
"Come here, Peter. Sit on the end of the bed."
"Right, am I in trouble, love?"
"Just fucking do it, you shit shovel."
So I do sit on the bed like...
"Peter, you're a good lad." "Would you like a CCTV camera on that outside wall?"
I would love it, you know. I could stare at it and then record myself staring at it to watch later, you know, in the spare room."
"Okay. After you've washed up and hoovered round, you can pop down fucking Maplin's and get yourself a CCTV rig."
Thanks, love. You really are very kind to me. So I'm pretty happy, Bob, and I'm sat here in the spare room watching footage of me staring at me. You know, it's like a parallel world where I'm not in any bother. Anyway, mate, I better go now, but I'll tell you a couple of jokes from my joke book. Like, you know, it's nice cheering up, nice and cheery jokes. I've got some jokes, like, they're them ones you know where someone walks into a bar. Just bear with me, I'll open up my book. Here we go, let's see if they're any good this week. They weren't very good last week, were they? So, a penguin walks into a bar and goes to the counter and asks the bartender, "Have you seen my brother?" And the bartender says, "I don't know. What does he look like?" Two men walk into a bar. You just thought at least one of them would have ducked. A pair of jump leads went into a bar and asked for a drink. The bartender said, "Okay, but I don't want you starting anything in here." Now, this one is my favourite. A guy walks into a bar and finds a horse serving the drinks. The horse asks, "What are you staring at? Haven't you ever seen a horse tending the bar before?" And the fella says, "It's not that. I just never thought the parrot would have sold the place." So, I think I'll leave the jokes there. One Peter Beardsley. There's only one Peter Beardsley. One Peter Beardsley. See you then, Bob.
So there's Peter. His jokes were... I mean, they're all right, weren't
they're
they?
They're not bad. Does he write them himself, do you think? Or does he just get them off the internet?
I think he goes on internet, yeah. But he still, he chooses the ones he likes, so you get a bit of...
Yeah, a bit of variety.
You get a bit of variety there.
What's behind the door? Yes or no?
Yes or no.
What's behind the door? I don't know.
I don't know.
Three things behind the door, Bob.
Okay.
Tell us if you go in and have a look or if you wouldn't. Number one, a cat, but it's a bastard.
Okay.
Would you go?
No.
Really? Scared of it?
Not scared of cats, but if he's a bastard. I like cats, what are wankers.
Do you not think you could tame it?
No, I'm not
change
interested
it.
In it.
You're not a cat whisperer.
Well, you know, you'd have enticed me a bit there because we could find out, but I stand here today, not a cat whisperer, so I'm going to reject
enough,
it.
Fair enough. Number two, British Telecom. All of it. Admin, wires, the lot.
Employees, vans.
Everything. Whole organisation.
Whoa, no.
Oh, you'd go in and just to see, you'd seen it.
Yeah, but if
would.
It's behind the door, it's just be like a lump, like just, when they do a scrap dealers, just, do a car into a lump.
Just have a peek there, at least.
No,
you can
I don't
want to
look
it.
At it.
Agger Bilk, shit-faced, he's holding his hat on with an elastic chin strap and he's booting his fanny pack around the room.
Well, yeah, he's got, what's on the chin strap?
He's got his hat.
Yeah.
We've got an elasticated chin strap to hold it on.
Okay.
Because it usually falls off when he's shit-faced.
I'll go, just for the sake of accuracy, and to see his hat. And
right.
I want just to see how much the little chin strap digs in.
Okay.
I'd like to see
one
that.
One out of
yeah.
three. I'm happy with that, if you are.
Okay. So, have you been watching much telly, Andrew?
You made me watch something, Bob.
Oh, I made you,
you
watch
forced me to
Precinct
watch
7.5, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, on the Netflix.
You like
about
it?
The olden days, isn't it?
It's about, what is it, the 80s or something?
Late 70s, yeah, 80s, yeah. 92, I think, when it all ended up in court and that. Corrupt cops in New York.
Yeah, it's
what's
superb,
not
though, isn't it?
It is. I haven't got to the end yet.
All right, well.
But then, you know, we're not going to give any spoilers out here anyway, are
no
we?
Spoilers. I mean, the thing is, Andy, is you can't help thinking of Goodfellas when you watch it, can you? The pace of
exactly.
it and the story and everything.
And the final act. felt very Goodfellas-esque.
You said you hadn't finished it.
Well, I got about half an hour from the end. I could see which way it was going with the introduction of massive amounts of cocaine.
Oh, well, it just gets better. You know my test, that they've got to keep getting better. And
up, 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 up,
up. Up, up, up. What a story,
into
though.
Into the movie sky. Did you have a favourite bit in it?
I liked the first appearance of the drug lord.
Adam Diaz. Yes, that's what I've got written down here as well as best bit. And he likes Julio Iglesias and Bryan Adams.
Yeah, he has a hell of a sound system to pump it out.
He wanted his car rigged out so he could play it while he drives around.
Well, that's a big Atletico Mints recommendation.
Double thumbs up, I reckon. I was wondering how we can possibly turn this podcast into some kind of major narcotic dealing organisation.
It's going to be tricky.
In the same way that Adam Diaz did with his shops.
With his hi-fi shops.
Oh, yeah, the grocery shops.
The grocery shops, yeah. Oh, and
with the metal door at the back.
Yeah.
I'm not giving too much away there.
Well, I think you should shut up because it... Do you know, I felt like vindicated afterwards. You know, I watch too much telly.
Yeah.
But occasionally a show comes along and I felt, wow, that were worth watching. So that's Precinct 75.
I've got a lot of time for New York in the late 70s and early 80s when it was just chaos.
It was a shithole. It was the first time I ever went. I was scared stiff.
Power cuts, rubble.
Yeah.
Looting.
Looting. Andy, rubble I find quite benign, to be honest. A pile of rubble. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, he's just...
But the first copper I saw in New York when the first time I went there, which would be late 70s, at a Mohican.
Wow.
And that's quite striking if you've come from Middlesbrough. So that's a bit... It's called Precinct 75, or sometimes it's called the 75.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, it's on your iStore, and I noticed it's on YouTube.
Oh, cheeky.
So cheeky, innit?
So if you haven't got the Netflix, you can get it on that.
Right. Another thing I watched, Andrew, and I'm sorry, I should have mentioned it to you, was the Rachel Divide, about that woman Rachel who pretended to be black.
Oh, yeah, that's out, is it? I read that was happening, but I haven't seen that it's been released. How did you feel about that?
I'm sad to report, Andrew, that it's a weak one.
Is it?
It's a weak one. If you wanted to have a glance, if you're a Netflix subscriber, you get everything you need from it in about the first 8 minutes.
I think her story's quite thin, isn't it?
It's really thin, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She pretended to be black, she got caught out.
And that's it.
Here's a show that I want everyone to watch before the next podcast. I know nothing about it, but this is how it is explained on Netflix or wherever else.
Yeah.
I think it's Netflix, might be Amazon. It's called Charged.
Right.
Right? And this is the description at the top, yeah? A chef went for a hike in Montana and was shocked with 2,400 volts of electricity when he touched a dead bear.
Cool.
He lost an arm, ribs, muscle mass, and nearly his life. But more important than what he lost is what he found.
I wonder if he sort of teamed up with the bear and they fight crime together now.
I don't know, Andy, I haven't seen it, but wouldn't it be nice if, like, instead of that being, I don't know what you call it, like, just frou-frou, what he found.
Yeah.
I presume it's going to be like he found out what was important in life and that. If no, you won't believe what he found. He found 10,000 kilos of cocaine and he became the richest man. But it won't be.
Well,
but,
he found a dead bear, didn't he? But so it's not that, is it? Because we know that.
You fancy watching it, Andy? I'm going to.
All right. We'll do, what was it called again?
It's called just Charged.
Charged.
Yeah. So there you are. All right, Andy, so I don't know if you know, like, right?
What?
But Adam Liliana,
yeah,
the Liverpool player, has been over in South Africa.
Has he?
Yes, he's been getting treatment for his hamstring injury from the world's greatest rehab facility.
And do you have some kind of information about what happened to him when he was
exactly
there in South Africa?
Yep.
Uncanny.
You know, isn't this interesting, Andrew? He actually got the injury when he was using his leg to point at an electricity substation that was making an irritating hum.
Okay.
Yeah? It's an interesting thing to be irritated by, isn't it, Andy?
Was it a hum or a whistle?
It's a hum. Mm. It's the rehab facility is at a place called Greenpoint, and they specialise in biokinetics, which is special exercises,
right,
and drugs that repair muscle. Now, did you notice then, Andy, I used the word rehab facility?
I've got to admit, I didn't.
You didn't.
Is it crucial?
Yes, I noticed that you didn't. Well, no, it's just that it makes it sound a bit like secret and futuristic, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Rehab facility. Mm. So that's given this story quite a big kick, hasn't it?
Bit of gravitas
already,
yeah.
Anyway, his supervising doctor's called Tony, I've got palladium, but it's spelled, I don't know quite how you say it. And him and Adam, Andrew, they got on like a house on fire.
Right.
Tony's like a real alpha male.
Oh, yeah, like you know, me.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, just like me, and you freaking came in there like
that's
Mr.
an alpha male for you, mate.
Mr. Scissors. So, Tony, South African. All right, Adam, you bitch. We hit the graft. Don't fart on me, and I won't tod on your panties. Ha, 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 ha. So, you know, he's that kind of bloke, you know what I mean?
Alpha male, yeah. One of them.
So Adam says, I like you very much already, I do. We should go and have a fart on some cider later on. In fact, I fucking insist. Tony says, you're a gem, mate. You're a gem. I'll meet you at your hotel. This is going to be a great rehab. And they slap each other a bit, you know, like that's fun, innit?
Yeah.
For fellas and that. So it's just in fun. They slap each other. Well, the treatment's really scientific, Andrew, like as a special like pad attached to his thigh, special insoles put in his trainers that makes a vibration buzzer sound if he's not walking exactly how he should be, yeah? It's got an ankle bracelet thing that monitors blood flow, step rate, heart rate, location where he is, his blood sugar, the fucking lot, right? Tony puts the gear on Adam and Tony says, oh, now where you are, what you doing, how you're moving, the whole gamut, you little bitch. Don't ever take the bracelet off or you'll fuck up the treatment. I'll tell you what, Drew, your leg complexion is off the scale. Beautiful towns. What's your secret? I apply Sizzly, that's the brand, Sizzly Sage and Ginger Contouring Oil, every evening. And twice a day I rub in Evolve Satin Leg Gloss. It's non-greasy and adds a lovely sparkly sheen. They look yummy, mate. I thought you Liverpool lads used the Nivea range. What's his accent? Adam Lallana? No, I wouldn't touch that shit with my todding pole. Anyway, that evening, so that, you know, they're getting on with all the banter and that. And that evening, Adam's having a stroll around looking for a nice mustard V-neck jumper to tie around his neck. That would look nice, wouldn't it, in Cape Town?
Would, lovely, yeah.
And he stops this bloke and asks him, he says, excuse me, Humphrey, do you know where there's a shop that sells luxury high-end cashmere sweaters? Well, this bloke tells him he does. Asks Adam to follow him.
Oh, aye, aye.
Well, if I was there, Andrew, I would have intervened. But so he follows him and they slip off the main road and cut round the back of a multi-storey car park.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting place to cut round, isn't it? The car park.
Can be.
So, hey, multi-storey, Andrew, that's a really nice way of indicating that a building's on several levels, isn't it?
It is.
Multi-storey.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
Is that relevant?
Suddenly, Andrew.
Yeah.
The bloke pulls out a machete. Take your trousers! Sorry. Take your trousers off and start feeding them into your anus, you slack bastard! Well, what could he do, Andy? He's got a machete at his throat. So he takes his trousers off and has to take the ankle bracelet off to do it. Man says, Fester, feed the left leg in first. Now put this tawny clown hat on and sing Fog on the Tyne, the Gazza version, and keep fucking feeding! Well, he gets the left leg in, but then he turns to the man and says, look, pal, there ain't room for a pair of 30-inch waist Hugo Boss skinny chinos up my arse. It's like trying to get a corn cob up a mouse's jacksy. Man says, oh, okay, have it your way, you bitch! And the man swings his machete back, ready to slice.
Right.
It's a big, sharp weapon. Just as he does so, bang, he's smacked across the back of his head with a prosthetic limb. It's Tony from the rehab
facility.
Yeah. I knew you're in trouble. Soon as I lost the signal from your gizmo. Adam, I fucking love you, Tony. Would he really have made me feed all of the chinos into my anus? Ah, you bet, mate. Last week, a bloke was forced to put a Parker and a pair of Timberlands up there. Gangbangers, you gotta fucking love them. Now, should we go and get that drink, you bitch? Oh, I reckon In fact, I fucking insist.
Hey.
And off they went to get the drink.
A happy ending.
Phew.
Some peril, some danger, some chinos.
Imagine if he'd missed the World Cup because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Just from cutting through round the back of a car park.
That's what can happen. Right, that's it for this first episode, and we're going to be back next week.
Well, yeah, let's continue it next week.
All right.